A Canticle for Leibowitz.
Alleluia, Alleluia.
Part 13 of a series in 15 parts. Adapted from a novel by Walter Miller Jr. Canticle for Leibowitz. Here continues the chronicle, set down daily by the brethren of Isaac Edward Leibowitz, in their abbey in the desert of the Southwest. Quote, now during the abbacy of Dom Jethro Zerke, the world had come once more to enjoy its ancient heritage of skills and wealth. Nevertheless, the world had also come once more to the brink of a new war. And this would, with the new skills, destroy the world and all who lived therein. Moreover, this war was nigh begun. Great engines of battle had already rained down fire and destruction in more places than one. And only a frail truce stood between the possibility of life and the likelihood of death. If life on earth should perish, then the memorabilia, the memory of earth, must go where life remained, among the human colonies on distant stars. To that end, there stood ready a starship, primed and provisioned, and ready to depart should war itself follow upon the words, Lucifer is fallen, which words were to herald the probability of war. And lo, these words were already spoken. Outward in space, therefore, this vessel would journey, manned by monks of our order, skilled in the craft of such machines, and in the keeping of the memorabilia. The abbot searched in his mind who might best captain the ship, and it seemed good to him to choose one of the lay brethren, Joshua by name. Him, therefore, he bade consider the matter, to become the captain, and therewith to become a priest also, and bade him furnish an answer within 3 days. And as they went to supper, Abbot Zerke and Brother Joshua found in their path, at the door of the refectory, the peasant woman whose custom it was to bring unto the abbey for sale baskets of tomatoes. And this same woman, Mrs. Grails by name, was not as others are. For the world is much peopled with those born disfigured. Yea, and that long since, for 18 centuries now, from the time of what men call the Third World War. And behold, Mrs. Grails' disfigurement was very grievous. For on her left shoulder, she had a second head.
It was a small head. It never opened its eyes. It gave no evidence of sharing in her breathing or her understanding. It rolled uselessly on one shoulder, blind, deaf, mute. Perhaps it lacked a brain. There was no sign of independent consciousness or personality. Her other face had aged, grown wrinkled. But the superfluous head had the features of infancy, although toughened by the gritty wind, darkened by the desert sun.
Evening, Father Zerke. A most pleasant evening to you.
Well, hello, Mrs. Gray.
And to you, brother.
Good evening.
A minute, Father. Only a minute for an old tomato woman, if you have it to spare.
Why, of course, I'd be glad to talk to you.
Here, Father, here. Take a little something for your poor box.
Oh.
Here.
No, Mrs. Grails, you shouldn't feel
any need to do that. Here, take a bit. All I know is how you always say by fret. But I be not so poor as you might think on me. And you do good work.
Well, thank you, but I
can't. If you don't take of it, that no good man of mine will have it from me and do him the devil's work.
Please,
here. Here, I sold my tomatoes, and I got my price, near. And I bought my feed for the week, and even a play pretty for Rachel. Oh, I want you to have of it.
All right, thank you.
Now, Father, a minute more, and I'll keep you no longer.
Surely.
It's little Rachel I wanted to see you about. There's the baptism and the christening to be thought of. And I wish to ask you if you'd do the honor.
Mrs. Grails, go see your own parish priest. He should handle these matters, not I. I have no parish, only the abbey.
Oh.
Talk to Father Cello at St. Michael's. It has to be recorded in your own parish. Only as an emergency could I handle it.
I, that I know. But I saw Father Cello. I brought Rachel to his church, and the fool of a man would not touch her.
He refused to baptize Rachel?
That he did, the fool of a man.
Mrs. Grails, he's no fool. I know him well. He must have his reasons for refusing. If you don't agree with his reasons, then see someone else. Talk to the pastor at St. Maisie's, perhaps.
Aye, and that, too, have I done. And there isn't a one anywheres as'll have anything to do with her.
All right, I tell you what. I'll call Father Cello for you, but that's all I can do. And we'll see you again, I'm sure.
Oh, thank you kindly. And beg your shriveness for keeping you.
Good night, Mrs. Grails.
Oh, good night, Father. Good night, brother.
Oh, good night, Mrs. Grails.
Why were you staring at her like that, Brother Joshua? I thought it rude.
Didn't you notice?
Notice what?
Then you didn't notice. Well, let it pass. But who is Rachel? And why won't they baptize the child? Is she Mrs. Grail's daughter?
That's what Mrs. Grails contends, but there's some question as to whether Rachel is her daughter, her sister, or merely an excrescence growing out of her shoulder.
Rachel? Her other head?
Don't shout so she'll hear you yet.
And she wants it baptized?
Rather urgently, wouldn't you say? Seems to be an obsession.
Well, how do they settle such things?
I don't know, and I don't want to know. I'm grateful it's not up to me to figure it out. The old-timers say Rachel wasn't there when Mrs. Grails was born.
Is that true?
Perhaps. Some are willing to tell it under oath. How many souls has an old lady with an extra head, a head that just grew? Things like that cause ulcers in high places. What was it you noticed? I mean, why were you staring at her like that?
It smiled at me.
What smile?
Her extra... Rachel. She smiled. I thought she was going to wake up.
Oh, come on.
No, she smiled.
You imagine it.
Yes, my lord.
Then look like you imagined it.
I can't, my lord.
Let's go on inside.
In the refectory, no food had yet appeared. Tables were bare. Supper had been deferred. The abbot rapped for silence, then gestured his prior, Father Leahy, toward the lectern. The prior looked pained for a moment before speaking.
In the event that an attack warning is sounded, the following brothers are to report immediately to Old Abbey Courtyard for special instructions. If no attack warning comes, the same brothers will report there anyway the day after tomorrow morning, right after Matins and Lords. Names? Brothers Joshua, Christopher, Augustin, James, Samuel, Thomas...
The monks listened with quiet tension.
Maurice, Carl,
there were 27
Benedict,
names in all,
David,
but no novices among them.
Andrew, Chrysostom...
Some were eminent Basil, scholars.
Damasus,
there were a janitor and a cook as well.
Placidus,
at first Jude, hearing, one might assume Bias, the names had been drawn from a box.
Mark,
by the time Father Leahy had finished the list, some of the brothers were eyeing each other curiously.
And this same group will report to the dispensary for a complete physical examination tomorrow after prime. Domney?
Yes. Just one thing. Brothers, let us not assume there is going to be war. Let's remind ourselves that Lucifer has been with us, this time for nearly 2 centuries. And was dropped only twice in sizes smaller than Megaton. We all know what could happen if there's war. The genetic festering is still with us from the last time man tried to eradicate himself. Back then, in St. Leibowitz's time, maybe they didn't know what would happen. Or perhaps they did know but couldn't quite believe it until they tried it. Like a child who knows what a loaded pistol is supposed to do, but who never pulled a trigger before. They had not yet seen 1 billion corpses. They had not seen the stillborn, the monstrous, the dehumanized. They had not yet seen the madness and the murder, the blotting out of reason. Then they did it, then they saw it. Now, the princes, the presidents, the presidiums, now they know with dead certainty.
They know it, and they've kept the peace. My sons, they cannot do it again. Only a race of madmen could do it again.
The abbot paused. Someone had laughed. In the midst of silence, someone had laughed. Zerke frowned. An old man had laughed. An old fellow with a brushy beard stained yellow about the chin, wearing a burlap bag with armholes. He continued to laugh at Zerke. He looked old as a rain-worn crag.
Who are you, if I may ask? Have I seen you somewhere before?
Shmilatzah!
I don't quite understand.
Call me Lazarus, then.
Lazarus?
Zerke shrugged and signaled for the meal to begin. After supper, Lazarus limped off down the road, then paused to listen to the wind. The wind brought the throb of rocketry from the south. Ground-to-space interceptor missiles being fired into orbit. The old man gazed at the faint red disk of the sun while he leaned on his staff and muttered to himself, or to the sun.
Omens. Omens.
That night was a troubled night. A night that belonged to Lucifer. It was the night of the Atlantic assault against the Asian space installations. In swift retaliation, an ancient city died.
This is your emergency warning network, bringing you the latest bulletin on the pattern of fallout from the enemy missile assault on Texarkana. Outside of the disaster area,
the following day, Brother Joshua found the abbot listening to the government radio.
You sent for me, Domini?
Yes, sit down.
In a surprise attack, the space forces of the Atlantic Confederacy last night struck at three concealed Asian missile sites located on the far side of the moon, known to be involved in a guidance system for space-to-Earth missiles. It was expected the enemy would retaliate against our forces in space, but the barbarous assault on our capital city was an act of desperation which no one anticipated. A ceasefire order has been issued by the World Court, with a suspended proscription involving the death sentence against the responsible heads of government of both nations. Being suspended, the sentence becomes applicable only if the decree is disobeyed. Special Bulletin. Our government has just announced its intention to honor the ceasefire for 10 days if the enemy agrees to an immediate meeting of foreign ministers and military commanders on Guam.
10 days? It doesn't give us enough time.
The Asian radio, however, is still insisting that the recent thermonuclear disaster in Itaewon, causing some 80,000 casualties, was the work of an errant Atlantic missile, and the destruction of the city of Texarkana was therefore retaliation in kind.
Where's the truth? What's to be believed? Or does it matter? When mass murder's answered with mass murder, there's no longer much meaning in asking whose axe is the bloodier. Evil on evil piled on evil. Was there any justification in our police action in space? How can we know? Certainly there was no justification for what they did. Or was there? We only know what that thing says, and that thing is a captive. The Asian radio has to say what will least displease its government. Ours has to say what will least displease our fine, patriotic, opinionated rabble, which is what the government wants it to say anyhow. So what's the difference? Dear God, there must be 500,000 dead if they hit Texarkana with the real thing. Oh, God of Jacob, God even of Cain, why do they do it all again? Forgive me, Brother Joshua, I'm raving. Are the brothers in the courtyard yet?
About half of them were when I passed.
Good. Now I want you to start looking over these plans for where the flock shall wander. Read the precis. Look at the table of organization. Read the procedural outline. You'll have to study the rest in detail, but later. Yes?
This is Robot Operator 6 calling. Reverend Father Jethro Zerke Abbott, please.
Speaking.
Urgent priority wire from Sir Eric Cardinal Hofstraff, New Rome. Shall I read?
Yes, read the text of it. I'll send someone down later to pick up a copy.
Text as follows. The flock is to undertake its journey. First part of work assigned to your order is to begin immediately. Please confirm receipt.
Receipt acknowledged.
Will there be a reply?
Reply as follows. To His Eminence Eric Cardinal Hofstraff, obedient greetings from Jethro Zerke Abbott. Concerning the matters in question, I have now issued orders that the brethren who will be going forth shall this day be ready to be sent to New Rome by the first available flight. End of text. Out. So, Brother Joshua, you've read the crux of the plan. Are you ready to get nailed on it?
I'm not sure I understand.
I asked you three questions yesterday. I need the answers now.
I'm willing to go.
That leaves two to be answered.
I'm not sure about the priesthood, Dominic.
Look, you'll have to decide. An abbot will be elected by secret ballot of the professed, of course, but you are the most obvious choice if you have a vocation to the priesthood. Have you or haven't you? There's your Inquisition, and the time's now, and a brief time it is, too.
But, Reverend Father, I'm not through studying.
It doesn't matter. Besides the 27-man crew, others are going, too. 6 sisters and 20 children, some scientists, and 3 bishops. They can ordain you when they feel you're ready. You'll be in space for years, you know. But we want to know whether you have a vocation, and we want to know it now.
I don't know.
Would you like a half hour? Would you like a glass of water? I tell you, son, if you're going to lead the Brethren of Leibowitz, you'll have to be able to decide things here and now. Can you speak?
Domney, I'm not certain.
You can croak anyhow.
I don't think I'm able.
Listen. None of us has been able. But we've tried, and we've been tried. It tries you to destruction, but you're here for that. This order has had abbots of gold, abbots of cold, tough steel, abbots of corroded lead, and none was able, although some were abler than others, some saints even. Well, the gold got battered, the steel got brittle and broke, the corroded lead got stamped into ashes. Me, I've been lucky enough to be quicksilver. I spatter, but I run back together somehow. What are you made of, son?
Puppy dog tails. And I'm scared, Reverend Father.
Take an hour to think. A drink of water, a drink of wind. Totter off a while. If it makes you seasick, throw up. If it makes you terrified, scream. If it makes you anything, pray. But come into the church before Mass and give us your answer. The order is fissioning, and the part of us that goes into space goes forever. Are you called to be its shepherd, or are you not? Go and decide.
I guess there's no way out.
Of course there is. You have only to say, I'm not called to it. Then somebody else will be elected, that's all. But go, calm down, and come to us in the church with a yes or a no.
The darkness in the courtyard was nearly total. Only a thin sliver of light from under the church doors. 26 of his brethren were in there waiting. He could see the red dot of the sanctuary lamp. Fire, kindled in worship, burning in praise. Fire, loveliest of the 4 elements of the world, and yet an element too in hell. It had also scorched the life from a city this night. How strange of God to speak from a burning bush. And of man to make a symbol of heaven into a symbol of hell. He peered up at the stars of morning. Well, there would be no Edens found out there, they said. Yet there were men out there now. Men who looked up to strange sun in stranger skies, gasped strange air, tilled strange earth, where it was even less like paradise than earth had been. Fortunately for them, perhaps, the closer man came to perfecting for themselves a paradise, the more impatient they seemed to become with it, and with themselves as well. When the world was in darkness and wretchedness, it could believe in perfection and yearn for it. But when the world became bright with reason and riches, it began to sense the narrowness of the needle's eye, and that rankled for a world no longer willing to believe or yearn. Well, they were going to destroy it again, were they? This garden earth, civilized and knowing. To be torn apart again, that man might hope again in wretched darkness. And yet, the memorabilia was to go with the ship. Was it a curse? It was no curse, this knowledge, unless perverted by man, as fire had been this night.
Oh, Lord, call me a priest. Call me abbot even, set me to watch over my brethren. Is Reverend Father really so sure of me as all that, to drop it on me in this way? He must be more certain of me than I am of myself. Lord? Lord.
Dawn. Time to tell the abbot. And tell him what? Joshua started toward the church, slipped inside, and went to kneel next to the abbot.
Well, Brother Joshua, are we to lay upon thee the burden of this office?
If they want me, Reverend Father, I shall accept.
You're certain?
If they choose me, I shall be certain.
Good enough.
Thus it was settled. While the sun rose, a shepherd was elected to lead the flock. It wasn't easy to charter a plane for the flight to New Rome. By mid-afternoon, though, clearance had been granted, and Zerke said his farewells.
Brethren, you are the continuity of the order. With you goes the memorabilia. Wherever man goes, you and your successors will go. And with you, the records and remembrances of 4,000 years and more. Be for man the memory of earth and origin. Remember this earth. Don't forget her. But never come back. If you ever come back, you might meet the archangel at the east end of Earth, guarding her passes with a sword of flame. I feel it. Space is your home hereafter. God bless you, and pray for us. Goodbye, son.
He moved slowly among them, pausing to embrace and bless each one.
God bless you, Dunstan.
He had spoken as if the destiny of Brother Joshua's group were as clear-cut as the prayers prescribed for tomorrow's office. But both he and they knew that he had only been reading the palm of a plan. For Brother Joshua's group was only beginning the first short lap of a long and doubtful journey, a new exodus from Egypt, under the auspices of a god who must surely be very weary of the race of man. Those who stayed behind had the easier part. Theirs was but to wait for the end and pray that it would not come.
From the place of ground zero, O Lord, deliver us. From the reign of the cold, O Lord, deliver us. From the reign of the strong zero,
more.